you know, you just don't realize how much there is to learn until you sit down with people in different fields and you get to hear their story. And it's been a great experience. So it's not just the people walking in the door. It's also just making new contacts within our firms.
You're listening to the Building Better Futures podcast, where innovation meets inspiration. In each episode, host Eric Hirani journeys alongside notable thought leaders who are shaping the future, cultivating exceptional work cultures, and nurturing the next generation of trailblazers. We aim to spark inspiration by engaging in dialogue with leaders from groundbreaking companies, innovative projects, and exceptional teams. Our goal is to empower individuals to positively impact those around them and leave a lasting legacy of positive change in our communities and society at large. Let's dive in together and explore what it takes to build better futures, one conversation at a time.
Today, I'm joined by Kim Verheiling, president of STV Buildings and Facilities. STV is one of the top infrastructure-focused professional services firms in North America, so I'm excited to hear more about how Kim is leading STV to build better futures. Kim, thanks for taking the time to talk to me today. Before we get to the core conversation, I always like to start with good news and gratitude. Any personal or professional good news or gratitudes you'd like to share with me or the audience?
I can't give you the details, but we are in the process of hopefully winning a very large project for my group, and I'm incredibly proud of my team and the way they've stepped up to really come together.
That sounds amazing. So thanks for sharing and congratulations. Sounds like some great things are happening. I will say my gratitude today is to you. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. And I know it's very busy to talk to me. And so let's get to it. So Kim, tell us a bit about yourself, your background, your career. Tell us about STV. Tell us about your specific role at STV.
Sure, absolutely. So I am an architect by trade. I grew up in New Jersey and always wanted to be an architect. I always thought it was fascinating, the power of design and how much buildings impact our lives and how much time we spend in buildings. And I thought, how amazing would it be that I could have a part or a role somehow in this industry? So I went to NJIT. I ended up dual majoring there. I got a Bachelor of Architecture and an MS in management because I somehow always knew that I wanted to help guide a firm and I wanted to be in a leadership role. After NJIT, I spent the early part of my career at a 90-person A&E firm. I've always been at A&E firms, which I think is a blessing because I do believe in the power of integrated design and how much better we work when we're in the same office, sharing conference rooms and working at the same table together. So I started a small firm and I felt like that was a really good place because when you're at a small firm, you have to do everything, right? And I'm sure, right, in the course of your career, you've experienced this as well. There's no task too small. From that, I went to a really, really big firm. And so I had the other opposite end of the spectrum, which provided me that guidance on the politics and organizational structures and how big firms work. And then I am blessed to be here at STV, which feels like the perfect balance where I get to use all the things I learned at a small firm because we're big enough to do some pretty impactful things, but we're small enough to still be nimble and react well to our clients' needs, which I think is perfect. So here at STV, I lead our National Buildings Group. I oversee a team of 350 plus architects and engineers, and we are, as I mentioned, an integrated practice. And my team focuses on what we like to term social infrastructure. So these are buildings in the education, justice, healthcare, science, federal, and of course, the transportation markets. We do a lot of work in sustainability and resilience, and we are really committed to delivering innovative building solutions that serve communities in the present and prepare them for the future. And I love the name of this podcast, Building Better Futures, because that is what we endeavor to do every day with our clients.
I love that you touched on that. And, you know, we spoke a little bit prior to just starting this. And I always look at it as there's two perspectives to the Building Better Futures. And one of them is the entire infrastructure aspect, right? And I'm going to ask you a little bit more about that in a minute. But the other aspect, and we're going to get to this later as well, is about how are we building the teams of the future, right? The next generation of leaders. How are we encouraging our students, even as they're in high school and college, to look at architecture and engineering and construction as a professional avenue for them to grow? But it sounds like you've been on a wonderful and exciting journey. I have a lot of friends at STV, and it's always a pleasure to work with your team there. So I know you spoke highly of your team. You spoke a little bit about the segments of the industry that you guys work in, but can you share some particular communities or projects that you've worked in and been able to serve and help build that better future for?
Sure, absolutely. Well, one that we just completed that we're incredibly proud of is, of course, Newark Terminal A, which we've gotten a few awards for. And a project like that, it takes a long time to deliver. So when you're at the end, you forget how hard the team worked and all the struggles you had along the way. But that has been a phenomenal project. And I will say that as we think about, you know, building better futures in tomorrow, for Newark Airport in particular, this was the Port Authority really thinking about how they could deliver a first-class destination for passengers. But it was also unique in that if you'd been to Newark Airport before, you never felt like you were really in New Jersey. It didn't have that sense of place and the character that's so uniquely New Jersey. No commentary on that. But Newark Terminal A, we really made an effort to infuse it with the feeling that you've arrived in New Jersey and all the great things about New Jersey, whether it's the shore or some of the innovation and the local retail providers that were brought into it. And when you marry that with the idea that this is a first-class passenger experience. So we really infused with our design partners, Grimshaw, daylight into the space. We did some really interesting structural engineering feats so that we could have these large open spaces. Because my team is a lot about health and well-being and how people feel when they're in spaces. And we've all been through those passenger experiences where you're late to the plane, you're stressed out. This was really about making a place that people wanted to be in, that they were excited to be in, to streamline and use technology to make security seamless. And I think that we hear that from people who have been in the facility, which I'm not sure if you've had a chance to go through. We're quite proud.
I don't know if I've been through the new Newark terminal, but I will commend Port Authority for they've done a great job. I've been through LaGuardia and JFK, and I know they're actively working with their PMO partners and design partners and firms like STV to do a great job. So I do applaud them for their efforts. It's been a huge undertaking. You mentioned it's taken a long time, and sometimes that happens. It's just part
of the
process.
Projects take a while, right?
Right, exactly. But in the end, it's all about the result and the outcome, and they've done a great job. You made a comment about New Jersey, and I feel like, you know, so that project seems probably personal for you, right? Being, you know, going to NJ. Yeah, exactly. So that's exciting. And I'm not allowed to say anything about New Jersey. My wife's from Jersey, so.
No, I knew I liked her.
I love New Jersey. That's what I'll say about New Jersey. But that's truly amazing. So thank you for sharing about that project. And there's two things I love about our industry. One is, and I won't ask you to share, you don't have to, but one is that we get to know things about these buildings that no one else in the world will ever know. Yeah, there are projects in the city that I know are half an inch too short or, you know, that just doesn't quite make it. I know why. I know how they fixed it. But, you know, no one else will really know that. So that's cool. So I'm sure you have your secrets about Newark.
I will. I'm not going to share them. Every now and then, though, while I'm there, I'm like, I know why we did that. I bet no one else knows. And I love actually being in the space and seeing how people circulate and how if it's having the impact we thought it would, if it's really making their experience better. So admittedly, anyone in my family who goes there, I'm always like asking a million questions. What'd you like? What you didn't like? Right? Because that's how we learn. And to a certain extent, we're still experimenting with things and seeing what works and what doesn't work so we can adjust for the next building.
No, yeah. Feedback is most important, right? I mean, the users are the whole reason we do this, right? Is the communities and the people that utilize the infrastructure. So I think it's great that you're constantly asking and trying to innovate and create better solutions for the next time around. The other thing I love about our industry is that we do get to have a positive impact on the community. And, you know, and I can tell you for people that travel in and out of Newark daily or JFK or LaGuardia or even myself, right, as a user, you know, and very often on our projects, you probably feel the same way. We're both on the design or construction side, but we're also on the user side. You know, we're going to be an end user here. So I love that positive impact we get to have. So that's one of the takes on this building better futures for our communities. The other part about it is building better futures for our teams, right? The people that work with us, the people that are really behind the scenes sometimes, maybe it feels like, and that are actually putting the projects together. Can you share with us a little bit about how you strengthen your work culture and foster the next generation of leaders at STV?
Yeah, well, obviously, mentorship is so incredibly important to our team. And so we've really at STV thought about how we create a world-class employee experience. And always we're thinking about how do we enable people to grow both personally and professionally in making sure that whatever support they need, because there's different things you need when you're early in your career and there's different things you're looking for when you're a little bit later. And so we've set up employee resource groups internally that are aligned to like an early professional or an emerging professional. How are we making sure that they have the right resources at hand so that they can get licensed and we're leading them on the right career path? As most of us know, I mean, there's so many ways you can go within this incredible industry. You can go the project manager route, or you can decide you want to be on the technical side or the design side or the management or in leadership. And I think it's important that we expose our younger generation to all of these different tracks so they can really find the right place for them, right? Because it's hard in the beginning of your career to figure out exactly what you want to do. So it's great. And I will also say the younger generation has a lot to teach us too. I have to say that the interns, I always learn. I feel like I walk away learning more than maybe they walk away, because they're pushing us to innovate. They're pushing us with whether it's, you know, how do we use AI? How are we using different technologies? They're bringing in new computer software. Those are the things we need. We need to be challenged and rethink how we actually deliver for our clients. And that's exciting. I feel like bringing interns with us to meetings is probably the best thing we can do. And then having real dialogues about what'd you learn? What'd you hear? What could we have done differently? And we end up learning too.
I absolutely love the answer on mentorship. We started for CMA New York, New Jersey, and I had this a mentorship program. And that was, we learn as much from the mentees as the mentees learn from the mentors. And I totally agree with that. And we try to instill that in everybody at every meeting. Is this is a two-way street. We're learning from each other. You know, we may have more experience as mentors,
right,
but it doesn't mean we know everything. So I think that's wonderful that you guys are doing that. And I've heard a lot about ESG groups recently, and I think it's a really interesting concept. And it's great that you guys have implemented that and helping people, especially on their professional career path. It is hard to know what you want to do, especially when you're like right out of school or even a few years
Absolutely.
Out of school. So it's great that you're able to offer that guidance, you know, and that people know that they have an avenue to go to if they want advice or help or suggestions or understand what the paths are and what they want to choose.
Absolutely. And I will say we've been, Greg, our CEO, has instituted wherever we have leadership meetings in different cities, we always do a networking event with the individuals that sit in that office. And I have made so many new contacts and friends through, you know, you just don't realize how much there is to learn until you sit down with people in different fields and you get to hear their story. And it's been a great experience. So it's not just the people walking in the door. It's also just making new contacts within our firms.
So then, and we're talking about mentorship for the next generation. Can you discuss the role of mentorship like in your career? I mean, who were some great mentors for you and what made them great mentors, right? How do we be better mentors when we're out there and trying to talk to the younger generation?
Yeah, it's funny. I guess I always say this. I've been blessed because I realize I am a woman in this field and all my mentors were men. And I was incredibly lucky because they were all my immediate supervisor and they were wonderful because I was in the process of figuring out where I wanted to go in my career and what my voice was. And every time I would ask for help or say, hey, could I try this? They would always give me that opportunity, which I think is phenomenal. And it's interesting now that I'm a little bit older, although we like to still think we're young, I do now have some female mentors, but ironically, they're not in my field because I'm looking for different kind of mentorship than just the technical side. So it's an interesting dynamic, but I try to be as accessible to my team as possible because I realize it's nice to have somebody that looks like you that can talk to you about their challenges and how they can shape their path into the future.
Love that. I wasn't even planning on talking about this, but I have a business coach who is not in our industry, but I consider a mentor, and he's been instrumental in helping me think about business and life in certain ways. And I think it's actually really great advice. And I just want to repeat it for all the listeners to, like, no matter where you are or what stage of your career, have mentors. Talk to people that you think can help you be better, however that is. So that's great. Focusing back just on your career, you know, and I just gave a piece of advice that you really gave me, so I shared again. But what would you say is the best piece of advice you've ever received?
I was always told that if you want to do something, even if you don't know how to do it, take a chance. Raise your hand and say, I'd like to try that. And don't be afraid to ask for help. People want to help people. I've never had, when I've gone for help, anyone say, no, I'm not gonna. Take a risk and then be willing to say, hey, I've never done this before. I was thinking of doing this. What do you think? And get some feedback and you're going to be fine, right? Have confidence in yourself that you'll figure out how to do it. You know, and if you fail, that's okay too. Don't be afraid to fail, right? It's okay. We've all failed.
You led me right into the next topic here. I recently read an article that talked about how we as a society don't talk about failing enough, right? Failing is how we learn. Failing ends up being the catalyst for a lot of changes. If you go back to like a lot of great, let's call them founders or contractors, anything really, they all go back to a point where they probably pivoted their business in some way and it was because they failed or because something didn't work the way they thought it would. What's your biggest failure? What do you think you learned from that if you had to think back through your career?
Yeah, I think learning how to navigate large organizations has been helpful. It showed me how to be a better collaborator, a better listener, and a better partner to my peers. And it takes you sometimes failing on a project or on a job where you think, I should have handled this in a different way. And I find that I'm much more direct with individuals now before we get to a point. Communication is key. I can't underscore that enough in anything, right? Personal life, professional life. I think being honest, being transparent, being a true partner to somebody, those are things that sometimes don't come naturally, right? Sometimes we have different agendas than other people, but that's incredibly important to just be transparent and truthful to people. And I feel like you'll always end up on the right side.
Yeah, that's great advice for everybody listening. We talk about communication a lot in our office. It's very hard to get things done if people are not working with each other. Collaboration is key. You mentioned earlier about the benefits of being at the small firm you were at and kind of wearing all hats, but also having to talk to everybody and then being at a very large firm where you had that. And I'm sure all of those experiences taught you about the communication being key to success. So talking about teams and success, can you share a success story of where you worked with a team to make something that maybe felt impossible come true?
I would say we've had a couple projects for my group that I would say have been technical challenges and pushed us a little bit beyond our limits. And to your point, the part about communication and us all getting around a table together and each of us really voicing our concerns and coming up with a game plan together that we moved a project forward and had success for our client is something I'm very proud of. And I would say that's one of my goals in leading my group is to foster an environment where people feel that they can voice a challenge, voice a concern, and be taken seriously. And it won't just get brushed under the carpet. We take action, we fix, we readjust, but we're a team and we do it together. And I really try to push that a lot. I encourage my leadership team when we're in meetings, like I want to hear their voices. I want them to talk and I don't want to talk. I want to hear what's on their minds so that we can come to a solution together.
Amazing. So we're coming to the end here. I have two questions I want to ask you, and then I'm going to jump into a quick lightning round. That'll be fast. Close this out. The two questions I want to ask you, and I'll let you answer them in any order you choose, but if you could be remembered for one thing, what would it be? And the other one is, what's a question I didn't ask you that you wish I did, and what would your answer have been?
Okay. So I guess how I want to be remembered as a good partner, maybe a good partner to my family, to my team here, an empathetic leader and partner for all of them. I like to think that I try to listen and I try to do the right thing, which is not always easy. My family will tell you that. And I've only realized this later in my life because when you first get trained in architecture and engineering school, you just see the building or maybe you just see the site plan, but you don't realize the impact you're having on every person that comes in contact with that structure. And I'm not sure if it's as you get further in your career, you realize the profound impact we all have and how blessed we are to be in this infrastructure community. But it isn't lost on me that the work we do every day is really transformational to our communities. And that's what makes me want to get up and come in to see what we can do next to make a better tomorrow. And I wouldn't say we have all the solutions, but I love that we have all this talent, which energizes me to think about how we get to a better place than we are today. And our cities need so much, whether it's infrastructure, housing, climate change. There's so many things facing our cities and our communities. And we're at this amazing place where we can help define what the solution is. Like, that's really powerful. And that was the message I would love to give our youth coming up. That's an amazing career. And I hope more people see the power of what we do and get involved, because we need more talent. We need more voices at the table. And it's an amazing profession to be a part of.
You said it better than I could. That was, in a nutshell, exactly what we're hoping to accomplish here, is to inspire more younger people to realize the impact that this industry makes on the world. A lot of people we take for granted, right? Being able to jump on the train and get to work, or go to school and get an education, or go to the hospital when we need healthcare, or, you know, or clean drinking water, right? It's amazing that that is something that we just don't even think about. But there's a lot of people that put a lot of time, effort, energy, and innovation into making sure all of those things happen and happen correctly. So I love that summary. I hope we inspire more people to get involved and we bring more voices to the table.
This episode is brought to you by Infinite Consulting Corp, your go-to firm for MBE certified project and construction management consulting. Discover how Infinite can help you build a better future at infiniteconsultingcorp.com.
So I will jump this lightning round just to get to know you a little bit better. So what I'm going to do is, I have four questions here. I want you to answer it with the first thing that comes to mind.
Okay.
And so we're going to start with, what is your favorite book, fiction or nonfiction? You can pick.
Oh, goodness. I will tell you right now, I'm reading some architecture books because I do love the power of design. So right now I'm reading Less is More by Bjork Engels, because I am a big fan of his work. And I love the cartoons that he has in his books, which makes it feel like I'm not reading, because admittedly, some days it's tired. Sometimes you're tired at night. You need some grandeur.
No, that's awesome. Yeah. Great architect. That's very cool. It's called Less is More. I may have to check that out. I think that could be very interesting.
Or Yes is More. I think it's Yes is More.
Yes is More.
Wrong. I want to make sure if I'm doing a plug for him, I get it right.
We'll look it up later.
Okay.
All right. Next one. And this is, I'm going to give you a whole bunch of options because I don't know what you're interested in. But if you could give me like either a favorite musician, actor, character, sports team, pick one of any of those genres. What's your favorite?
Okay. So I'm a huge U2 fan.
Oh, wow.
Yes. A few months ago, I saw them at the Sphere in Vegas. They are unbelievable, amazing band. I don't even know how they still do it at their age. And then I am a Jets fan, which I know I get a lot of comments. I'm used to losing. And Aaron Rodgers, fingers crossed this year, he's not going to get injured in the first 10 seconds.
I'm also a huge Jets fan. We used to go to like games every year. It's really been disheartening. And then last year, I was so excited, and only the Jets on the third play of the season could ruin their season.
I know. Oh, my gosh. And I had just bought my Aaron Rodgers jersey. I was like, now what am I going to do? So my husband said, I can't wear the jersey this year because he thinks I jinxed it.
But fingers crossed, they have a star-studded roster and they look good. And that's the embodiment of team. Hopefully they can get together and make it work. But to your point about you too, I had a good friend that went out to the Sphere, and to talk about infrastructure marvels. That is an incredible building and what they've done there. So very excited. I haven't been yet, but I'm planning to go see something there. I started looking at some concerts for early next year, but there wasn't, at least when I was looking, I didn't see anything that was too interesting. But you recommended, it sounds like. I should go.
You have to go. U2 is the kind of band that embraces technology and visual graphics. It was amazing. Really phenomenal.
That's cool. All right. Next one is, what's your favorite vacation spot?
My family, we always go to the Caribbean. I'm a big beach person. And I will tell you, I don't have a favorite island yet, but we have not been to one twice. And I'm going to get to every one of those islands down there. And then I will let you know.
I will take recommendations. One of our team members is celebrating a milestone and they're going to be going to Aruba. So I've heard very good things about Aruba.
So. Yeah, I have not been. So that's on the list.
There you go. There's an island to see. Yeah. There you go. And then last question of the lightning round. Who is one person you'd like to have a dinner conversation with, alive or past, but who's someone that like really inspires you, or you'd be excited if you had the opportunity to talk to?
I think I would want to meet with probably a famous architect. Maybe like a Frank Lloyd Wright or a Philip Johnson. You know, every time I go in one of their buildings, it's just, you know, you want to hear what they were thinking. What were they feeling? Did they accomplish what they really wanted to? What would they think about the way we're designing today? I think it'd be a fascinating conversation on the state of our profession and if they anticipated where we're at this place in time.
I think your passion for architecture is so amazing. And you really, really are into helping the community and building a better tomorrow. So I have a future. I love that. So that's pretty much all the time we have today. So I will thank you again. I'll give you an opportunity. Do you want to say anything before we close?
No, I think this is a wonderful idea, your podcast, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you. Thank you so
much. I'm honored to be the first.
Yes, this first episode, first guest. So thank you for taking the time to do that. So that's all the time we have for today. We'll include the resources mentioned in today's show's notes as links. And thanks again for listening. And keep an eye out for future episodes. Take care, everybody.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Building Better Futures. The show notes include links to any resources mentioned in today's show. If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe so you never miss an episode and leave us a 5-star review.